Genesis chapter 27 this morning, and I'll ask that you stand with me if you would. Genesis 27. Genesis chapter number 27. And we're going to talk about our feelings today. Yeah. Talk about our feelings, all right? Genesis chapter number 27. And I don't know about you guys, but good music does something for your soul. Kind of just get you in the right frame of mind. You may or may not remember from the Old Testament that Saul had an evil spirit that troubled him, and when he had that evil spirit trouble him, he did not play hardcore punk rock. You see, what did he do? He got someone with a harp that was skillful in that stringed instrument, and they played, and it soothed his spirit. And good music can do that for you. So I appreciate all those that are involved in music here. It's a real, real blessing. Genesis chapter number 27, Genesis chapter 27, and I want to read a few, quite a few verses here, just because I think without the understanding of the story, the context of the message will be lost. So if you haven't read a lot of your Bible this week, we're going to get caught up on a little bit of it. Is that okay? All right. Genesis chapter 27, starting in verse 1, it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold now, I am old. I know not the day of my death. That's an honest statement for all of us, amen? Well, maybe not. You may not all be old, but at least the part about the day of your death, all right? I know not the day of my death. Now therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison. Daddy's hungry. He's asking for his son to make him a meal. This is the organic, natural, straight from the farm to plate or field to plate, all right? It's what's going on here. Anybody ever been to Mod Market before? Anybody know what Mod Market is? Can you raise your hand so I don't feel like a fool? Thank you. Okay. All right. That's farm to plate. This is field to plate. This is about as good as it gets. All right. He's asking his son to make him some, as it says in verse 4, Brother Steon, savory meat, all right? So like a savory pie, that's where you get it from, right? Savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard it when Isaac spake to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for his venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, the other son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father such as he loveth. Are you following so far what's going on? All right, you got a brother that's supposed to be going to get the meal. You got mom overhearing it, and she goes, okay, I'm going to interject here. I like Jacob more than I like Esau. Jacob is kind of the mama's boy. So she says, hey, Jacob, come here. Go get the goats from the backyard, bring them here, and I'm going to make stew out of it. And Jacob responds, look if you would at verse 11. It says, Jacob said to his Rebekah's mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth. Right? My father, peradventure, that means maybe, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. His mother said to him, Upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice and go fetch me them. So he does it. Look at verse 18. He came to his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said to his father, I am Esau. Right? Thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless thee, me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? I'll tell you why, because it was in the backyard. He didn't go hunt for it, right? And it says this, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Jacob lies here. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may, underline it, feel thee. My son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice. There's like red flags going off in Isaac's mind. The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And listen, he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So He blessed him. And he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, "I am." And Isaac goes on to give Jacob the blessing that belonged to the other son. And what I want to do is I kind of just want to explore this passage, because what you're going to find out is that everyone that's involved in this story, from mom to dad to the brothers, are just living by their feelings. And I hope and pray that you learn that living by your feelings is not the best way to go through life. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Steon, if you would take us, sir. Amen. Be seated if you would. Thank you so much, brother. By the way, I've had folks ask me, what's our next plan for our building? And you know what the answer is? I don't know. We have 20 of our own people gone this morning, 20 or so of them. And you say, where would they go? The overflow downstairs, I suppose, and maybe some over here. We got a purple gummy bear up here, so I guess someone could take that spot. You know what I know? I know that God's plans are perfect, and He'll lead us to the right place in the right time. Amen. But I want to get back to the message here, and I want to point out to you that, listen, having feelings is not bad. Matter of fact, I think if you don't ever express feelings, you're probably crazy. Right. There's something wrong with you if you never manifest any emotion at all. It's not normal to just kind of be someone that goes through life and expresses no emotion whatsoever. But I would say, I'd venture to say this morning that most of you in this room, I would say the vast majority, I think it's safe to say, the vast majority of you are not going to be walking through life like this. Most of you carry emotions with you into situations. And some of you that would say, "Oh, I'm not that emotional," I would say, let me talk to your spouse. Right? Listen, emotions are a part of life. It is not that feelings or that emotions are bad. I want to talk about that in a little bit, but I want to give you a little bit of context for the story. And early on in Genesis, you know what we learn? We're going through a series right now, by the way, called Problems with the Patriarchs. And Isaac is one of them, and Jacob is one of them, and they both have a problem in this story. You know what you learn in the Bible? Families were dysfunctional from the very beginning. People go, "Oh, my family, you don't know my family. My family is so dysfunctional. I mean, no, I just hate my family. It's just so messed up. And if you knew how I was raised, you'd understand why I was the way I was." Listen, it's called sin. Sin is dysfunctional. Sin is what makes families dysfunctional. Sin is what breaks apart the design and desire of God. But from the very beginning, guys, if you think you have a bad family, you know, I don't know, and I hope I'm not shooting myself in the foot here, but I don't know any of you who raised kids and one of them killed the other kid. That was the first family on planet Earth. I mean, Adam and Eve, they have Cain and Abel. You know what Cain does? He kills his brother. That, my friends, is dysfunctional. Families have been dysfunctional from the very beginning. You know what else you learn from Genesis? What seems like a good idea at the time may not be a good idea down the road. I mean, how many times you know, here's this shiny fruit. Oh, I just want one bite. Here we are. Right? What seems like a good idea at the time does not always mean it's going to be down the road. I would also say this, you learn from this story, it's not a good idea, parents, to pick favorites. Right? I mean, you know, it's easy to do that sometimes, and I know every parent here is like, "Oh, I don't have any favorites, you know, I don't pick it." But maybe not, that's fine, but I know this much. There are certain kids that we kind of lean towards because they're more like us than the other kids are. Vis-a-vis, the other kids are more like my spouse, and I get along with the kid that's more like me. It got real quiet and real awkward very fast. This is called human nature, okay? And so I'll just tell you right now, Rebecca had this issue with Jacob. Esau was the hunter. He was the manly man. And Isaac loved talking with Esau about hunting and sports. And, you know, Jacob would come around, and you know, he's like, "Hey, Jake, what you doing?" "I was playing with Barbies." He's like, "Oh, okay, all right, go see your mom," you know? I mean, Jacob's the smooth man. He was the one that just didn't really get out. He wasn't the outdoors guy. Maybe he was a little bit more touchy-feely. Maybe he was more into the arts. I don't know. But I know that the parents favored the different kids for a reason. Let me just say this. Isaac, in the story, the Bible says, look at verse 1. It says he's old. And he can't see like he used to. You know what I'll tell you? You can get through using certain of your senses and your emotions and your feelings to get through certain circumstances for a certain amount of your time of your life, but you can't do it forever. Eventually, the things that you rely on to get you through a certain situation, if those things are not connected to God and they're just in your own power to discern and to try to figure things out, you will eventually come to the end of your rope and you will get duped. And Isaac gets duped. But I want you to understand, feelings in and of themselves, they're just a part of life. Listen, the Bible says in Genesis 1 that God made man in his own image. Can I say this? God gets angry. He does. He's not up there like, oh man, I just love murder and rape and this is just wonderful. I love it all. No, he hates it. God is angry with sin. You need to understand. Listen, I mean, I don't know about you guys. I haven't watched new Jesus movies or anything like that. But some of the ones that I saw when I was a kid, you know, Jesus was like, I don't know, he kind of looked like, I don't want to be mean, but he kind of looked like a hippie that wouldn't hurt a butterfly, you know. And in those movies, I never saw the scene where he came in there and kicked the tables over and grabbed a whip and started chasing people out. I mean, can you imagine the modern idea of Jesus actually doing that? It'd be like, guys, I know, it's kind of inconvenient. And it's probably not, you know, it's what you want. And I understand you guys don't agree with me, and that's okay. We can all have our own opinion. But you know, I just really would appreciate if you guys would just move a little bit out of here. I mean, that's not what he did. He goes in there with the whip. He's like, all right, get out, move, get out. I said get out, right? I mean, that's an emotion that's being manifested there. There's anger. The Bible says we would call that righteous indignation. But emotions are not bad. God has emotions. God rejoices over his people. You know what I should say to some of you? You should learn to rejoice a little more. Turn that frown upside down. How you doing? Good. Rejoice in the Lord. Amen. How about you let your face know you're rejoicing, huh? Like, let us all know you're rejoicing, right? Hey, listen, God rejoices. God is angry. Can I say this? The Bible says that God calls himself a jealous God. You know what that means? He's jealous. He doesn't want his people not worshiping other gods and getting their minds and hearts connected to things that are false idols in their life. That is an emotion. Jealousy is an expression of emotion. Hey, listen, the Bible says that it repented the Lord that he made man, and it grieved him at his heart. You know what that means? He felt sorry that he had created man. What a tragedy. You say, what is that? That's an emotion. Can I tell you, the emotions in and of themselves are not the problem. But if you remember that God made us in his image, and then sin enters after Genesis 1 and Genesis 3, and ever since then, we've been kind of the best way to describe it is a fallen version of the image of God. So the problem that I have is, when I'm jealous, is it for the right and holy and pure reason? When I'm angry, is it because I'm standing up for God and it's righteous indignation, or am I just being a jerk? Can I get a witness? Amen. I mean, whenever I'm frustrated, whenever I'm happy and I'm rejoicing, when I'm excited about something, listen, there are times you ought to be excited in your life, and there's nothing wrong with being excited because your kid graduated high school, or man, your kid is doing well in school, they got accepted at a college, whatever it might be, that's all good stuff. But you know, the reality is this, oftentimes we get excited about things that God could care less about. And the things that excites God, we kind of go, eh. You say, what are you getting at? Our emotions were designed by God, but the problem is this. Our emotions are directed oftentimes from something right in here called our heart. And the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Oh, no, not my heart. My heart's not deceitful and desperately wicked. Yeah, your heart is. And your heart is, and your heart, and my heart is. You know what I cannot trust? I cannot, listen, I know I've said this before, but Disney princess philosophy is a terrible way to live the Christian life. Just follow your heart, you know. That's not a good idea because your heart will lead you down the wrong road. And so your emotions, if they are coming from this, and you know that God says that this is deceitful above all things, what that means is your emotions and your feelings cannot be the authority in your life. They cannot be the way you make decisions. Has anybody ever made a decision on a Monday that you regretted on a Tuesday? Some of you are like, I made a decision on Monday morning, I regretted 5 minutes later, whatever it may be. You've all been there, have you not? I mean, I hate to say it like this, but, you know, He told me everything I wanted to hear. Right? See, what did he do? He lied to you. He said, you're the most special girl. You're the most beautiful. Why? He wanted something. Right? Right? Are we making sense here? All right, listen, what I'm getting at is your feelings can lead you down the wrong. It doesn't mean that feelings in and of themselves are bad, but they cannot be the way you define your life. How I feel at 4:30 in the morning when the alarm goes off is not how I feel right now. Right? Now, you know, I'm telling you, if I allow those feelings to take over for the rest of the day, man, I'm in trouble. Everyone in this story in Genesis 27 is living by their feelings. Can I say it like this? If you're saved today, man, you ought to thank God you're saved. Amen. And there ought to be excitement and there ought to be passion in your life for Jesus Christ and others who don't know him yet. That ought to drive you. And if you're not sure if you're saved, listen, it's really simple. It's not complicated. It's very simple, actually. You're either saved or lost. You've been born again or you're still living in your sins. You either are living in death or you are living in life. You have Jesus Christ or you don't. That's it. Either there was a place and time in your life where you said, I'm a sinner, I know I deserve hell, but Jesus loved me enough to die for me, and I'm going to accept him by faith as my Savior, or you've never done it before. And I'll tell you right now, if you are saved, you don't always feel like you're saved. Am I right about that? I mean, are there not some days that you go, man, how could I be saved and do? You say, what is that? Feelings. Hey, can I say this? The Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And in the originals, it does not say in parentheses, when you feel like it. Is this making sense? It's not a matter of how you feel in the moment, because how you feel one moment changes in the next, because oftentimes our emotions and our feelings are based on what's going on in the here and now. You say, what's going on in this story? Everyone's got their feelings all ruffled. Everyone's got their own agenda. Why? They're living by their feelings. Hey, listen, if you're saved, sometimes you feel less than saved. Sometimes you're not on the same page with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, you know what you feel? You feel kind of like, grieved, and I don't know if dirty's the right word, but just something is off, and you go, man, what is that? Sometimes that's called conviction from the Holy Spirit of God. Where you go, man, I just don't feel good about what I just did. Maybe that's God's way of saying, don't do it again. Yeah, right? Listen, when our kids were little, you can do whatever you want with your kids. When they were little, we trained them at 2 years of age and maybe a little bit less than that, probably less than that. And we would put something in front of them that they wanted. And when they went for it, we'd say, just tap it in. All right, just tap. And I'd say, no, don't touch. And then she'd look at me. And I'd say, and she'd go for it again, no, don't touch. And then she'd look at me. And then she'd look at me and go for it again. This time, eyes locked on me, but the hands moving. And I would say, hey, don't touch. So look at mom like, aren't you going to rescue me from this evil monster of a man? Like, who is this man that's beating my hand? And I'm just a little tap, and she's thinking that I'm beating her. We got it on video, actually. It's hilarious. I literally took a little book, and I went, boop. In the next video, all you can see is me hugging her. Hey, let me say this, though. It didn't feel good to have to train my child to learn where the boundaries were in the moment. It was a lot of work, and frankly, I didn't always like it. But I'd rather have gone through that feeling where now I say, you better be home at this time, and you're not going to go see that person. And if I ever hear this, you say, what? Because I have their respect now. You understand when you feel, certain feelings don't feel right, like you don't, but it's the right thing to do. So you know what you do? You tell your feelings to shut up and live by what God says. The facts of God's word don't change based on our feelings. Our feelings are a response to the word of God. And sometimes they're the right response, and sometimes they're the wrong response. But the fact of the matter is, if I allow them to dictate what is right and what is true in my life, then truth is ambiguous and it changes and it moves around everywhere where the wind blows. And that's not how God's word works. Listen, they're cutting our fields right now and they've got these combines going out there, and we were watching it yesterday, and one of the machines, you know, it did this thing on the front end. We're watching it from our house and we're on the backside of it. The machine's heading east on our property. And it literally looked like it gobbled up something on the front end and then pooped out a bale of hay on the back end. And it was just kind of funny because we're watching this going, how does that even work, you know? And And sometimes those combines go out there and they get stuff gumming up the little motor, you know, as that spindle is moving on the front of that thing. You say, what happens? A baseball bat's out there. A dog bowl's out there. You say, how do those things get out there? You say, oh, the kids. Well, sometimes, yes. But I'll tell you what, they have found things like, I mean, acres down the way where the kids weren't at. You say, what happened? The stuff that was outside wasn't anchored properly, and the wind just blew it all around. You know where some Christians live their lives? They blow from one place to another, one relationship to another, one church, one doctrine, one Bible to another, and there's no stability. Why? Because it's all about feelings. Nothing more than feelings. Remember that? It's just about how I feel about it right now. Hey, your feelings aren't the way to dictate your entire life. If you're driving through a blinding snowstorm like we get sometimes, oh, if you are, can I give you some advice? If you're heading east, take I-70. Don't take Quincy because the lighting out there stinks. And, I mean, I can't tell you how many times after a Wednesday night service I have white-knuckled the steering wheel. But I'll tell you this much. As you're driving through something like that, the worst thing in the world you could do is blindfold yourself further and say, at least I can still smell. You're using the wrong feeling. Do you understand? You're using the wrong sense. A lot of believers get through life that way. And let me say this. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you might feel good about yourself compared to someone on death row. But that feeling might change if you stand next to a man that never looked at a woman to lust after her in his heart. Your feeling might change if you stand next to a man that never told a lie. You say, who's that man? Is it you, preacher? Absolutely not. You know who it is? Jesus Christ. Amen. Let our feelings come and our feelings go. There's a story in the Bible about a young man named Amnon. You say, what does he do? He takes advantage of his half-sister. I'll leave it at that. You can read through it in your Bible. You know what's amazing? The Bible is like, I don't know, probably if you took everything and put it on a screen, rated R. You say, oh, that's terrible. No, because it's words in a book versus images you're throwing up on a screen. There's a complete difference. That's why words are so much better than just constant images in your face. Those words are there. But let me just tell you, there's some brutal stories in the Bible. This man takes advantage of his half-sister. Do you understand how this thing starts? He's thinking about it. He has emotions for it. And before you know it, it is out of control. And let me just say this. When he gets what he wants, you know what the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 13? It says, then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And he tells her, get out of here. You say, what is that? Oftentimes when we follow our feelings, it brings the exact opposite result that we're looking for. You know what Rebecca wanted? Her son to be blessed. Her son to be successful. You know what she gets? She never sees him after that day for the rest of her life. Why? Living by her feelings. Feelings come and feelings go. Feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God. Nothing else is worth believing, and that's the truth. Can I remind you that Jesus expressed emotion? He was angry. He rejoiced. He wept. But Jesus did what he did with the right motives in light of truth. Let me give you a couple of things to think about. Look, if you would, at verse number 11 in our passage. Jacob's feelings, number one, were centered on what others thought. You know what that is? That's called being self-centered. When you worry about what you are going to seem to be to other people, notice Jacob's response to his mother. He says, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man. I'm a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall watch it seem to him as a deceiver. No, Jacob, you're not going to seem to him as a deceiver. You are a deceiver. But Jacob is always concerned about what other people think about him and his reputation and making sure. Why? Because Jacob is self-centered. Jacob is a symbol of you and of me. Our carnal nature, even as believers, leads us oftentimes to worry. What are they going to say about me? And what does she think about me? And what are they? I just got to make sure that my reputation stays intact. Let me just tell you, David had a man killed who was innocent because he was worried about his reputation. You don't know how far this will take you when your feelings are about you. Jacob goes into the story, well, what am I going to seem like to dad? It's not about what you're going to seem like, son. It's about what you actually are. Listen, it's time for all of us to quit disguising ourselves and putting on the other raiments from other people and trying to make people think we're something that we're not. That is not biblical, and if that's what you're doing in your life, it is tiring and it is exhausting, and you will lose out for what God has in your life. The Bible says that Saul went to go see a witch. Anybody remember the story? Now, you may remember from the Old Testament, he had outlawed all the witches. He said, you can't practice that here. You don't have licenses anymore. You lost your license. You can't do it anymore here. And matter of fact, it wasn't just losing your license. You could lose your life. And so Saul gets to the end of his life, and Saul is chasing David, and he's made a mess of things. And Saul's all about himself. He's all about his feelings. You know, I've learned narcissistic people destroy other people in the process. And here's what you have to understand. Every single one of us in this room has the tendency to love ourselves more than others. So what I'm going to tell you is this. Don't be like Saul. Saul was all about Saul. What do the people think of me? Matter of fact, he disobeys God, and Samuel shows up. He goes, worship with me, the Lord, before the people. Make sure that the people still think I'm one of God's guys. I mean, worship. He's all about that. You know what Samuel says? Why should I do that with you? You don't even care about God right now. To the end of Saul's life, he earlier in his life outlawed witches. Well, here's what happens. Saul goes to the prophet and the priests, and no one can get through to God for Saul. I mean, he's tried everything. Facebook, he's tried text messaging God, he even tried TikToking, I guess. I don't know. I mean, whatever, you know. I don't know how that became an art where someone dances in a screen and words pop up and it's like, oh, it's so cool. Like, I don't get it. But whatever, it doesn't matter. He's trying whatever he can to get God's attention. And God's not talking. So you know what Saul does? The Bible says he disguised himself and he went to a witch. And eventually, that witch goes, you deceived me, Saul. Remember the story? You say, what was the problem? Oh, and by the way, you know what the revelation is? The revelation in that story is that Saul's going to die and his kingdom's going to be taken away from him. Oh, you mean the same story that Samuel told you when you were alive and you could have done something to get it right, but you just kept covering it up and covering. You kept saying, David's the problem, so I just get rid of David, then I'll be good. Well, then David's no longer a problem, and you're still chasing ghosts. And you're going after Samuel, trying to bring Samuel back from the dead, going to a witch. You say, what happened? He couldn't get through to God through the preacher, through the Urim and Thummim. If you don't know what that is, it's a breastplate in the Old Testament which they would speak to God. He couldn't get through to God any which way. So instead of getting right with God, he disguises himself and goes to a witch. Instead of saying, God, it's me that's bitter, it's me that's envious, it's me that's proud, God, it's me that's got the jealousy, God, it's me that has this issue, it's not everybody else, I'm not going to cover it up anymore. I'm tired of covering up my sin. Saul disguised himself. And his story ends exactly as the preacher said that it would. You might remember the story of Ahab and Jehoshaphat going into battle together. And Ahab goes, hey man, I know they want to kill me. Can you imagine having a friend like this? So let's say a guy's like, hey man, these guys are going to come jump me. I need your help. Can you come defend me? And you show up and he's like, okay, put my clothes on. Right. It's literally what Ahab does. Jehoshaphat comes to Ahab. And Ahab's like, look, they're after me, so hey, take my robes and put them on. And the worst part is Jehoshaphat does it. So you know what Ahab does? He disguises himself. And the story is just an amazing story because it says the other army from the Syrian side, a guy, listen, the Bible wording is so cool. It says this guy drew a bow at a venture. You know what that means? I don't even know what I'm shooting at. And this guy just lets one fly. And it hits Ahab right between the joints of the harness. You know what he's trying to do? Hide from God. Years of running, years of covering up, years of acting like he was a certain person that he wasn't. Let me say this. You can act like you're saved. If you're not saved, you never trusted Christ your Savior. You can have a Bible. You can come to church. I'm not trying to talk you out of your salvation, but if you've never been born again, you can act like it. You can cover it up, and you're still going to die and go to hell without Jesus Christ. Right. Now, here's the good news. You don't have to. God does not want you to. God does not desire that. But I'm telling you right now, covering things up in the Bible does not usually end well. The Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You know what Jacob's problem was? His feelings were all about him. What will they think of me? Now listen, I did not grow up in Africa. I got friends here that did. I read a story about a lion or a buffalo there in Africa, the water buffalo, if you will. I think they're called. I'm not using the term right. If I don't got the term right, I'm sorry. But dad's talking to his son. The father's saying to his son, hey, son, one day a lion's going to come. And when the lion comes, I want to give you some instruction. I want you to be ready for what to do. Well, dad, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to run. He said, no, son, if you do that, that lion will catch you. That lion's faster than you. That lion knows that once you leave the herd and you run off because you are afraid, you are easy prey. Son, here's what I want you to do. If you ever see a lion, I want you to look at that lion. That's step number one. Look at that lion in the eyes. All right, but dad, I don't know if I can do that. You look at that lion in the eyes. Okay, what do I do after that? Then I want you to take your hooves and I want you to paw them in the ground. You say, what happens if he doesn't run from that? What if he still stares at me? Then you run at him with everything you've got. He says, well, dad, how am I? He's stronger than me. Yeah, but look around, son. As he looks around, he's got 200 buffalo standing there side by side with him in that herd. He said, we can take that lion. Yeah. But you know what the problem is oftentimes? When you're confronted with another side of you that you don't want to deal with, you run. And you cover it up. Instead of saying, man, I've got the Lord, I've got God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, I got my church, I've got my Bible, I've got everything I need in my life to win, just to run and cover it up. Let me just tell you, it doesn't end well. And it didn't well end for Jacob. Secondly, let me say this, look if you would at verse number 13. His mother said to him, upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice and go fetch me them. Rebecca's feelings, number two, were centered on her immediate desire. When your feelings are all about what you can get right now and you can't look back past where you're at, beyond where you're at right now, you can get yourself into a lot of trouble. What did Rebecca want? What's best for her kid? What did she get? She got never seen him again. Never place on the permanent, the altar of the permanent, the altar of the immediate. Never take yourself and the things that you ought to value in your life, the permanent things that are valuable to God in your life, and put them on the altar of the immediate. What I mean by that is don't sacrifice what God has given you, what is lasting and of value. Let me say it like this, young ladies, don't give away your purity. Young men, don't give away your purity. Listen, I'll say it like this. Older folks, don't give away your mind. Don't give away your heart. That God is giving you some things in your life that he wants you to hold on to and not sacrifice the moment that your feelings lead you to think, I could get ahead, I could do a shortcut and make it there real fast by skipping what God wants for my life. So what did Rebecca do? You know what's interesting about this whole story? Isaac doesn't pray, Jacob doesn't pray, Esau doesn't pray, and mommy doesn't pray. No one's praying. Everyone's just going by their feelings. And her feelings were all about what she could get out of the immediate. Listen, it's real easy to say, well, I couldn't withstand the temptation. I had to do it. Let me just say, the Bible says in the book of James, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You know what Esau says? Just give me that pottage. You may not know the story. That's what Esau does a few chapters earlier. Say, why? Lust. You know what Samson says? Get her for me, she pleaseth me well. How does that end? Eyes plucked out, blind, holding on to two pillars, praying to God and for his mercy. Jonah, because of hatred, goes in the wrong direction. Joe's bros. You know, I realized something, Brother Joe? You're Joseph. Are you the youngest of your family? You didn't get cast in a pit, though, did you? That's good. Your life could have been worse. I just want you to know that. There was another Joseph in the Bible who was the youngest of all his siblings. And you say, what did his brothers do? They left him for dead and sold him into slavery. Why? Jealousy. All they could think of was the immediate desire to get rid of their brother. They never thought, what would be the ramifications? What would be the consequences? I know what you're thinking. Yeah, but the story ends wonderfully. Most don't. Moses smites the rock out of anger. Peter denies the Lord out of frustration. And Judas betrays Christ out of envy, frustration, and bitterness. What you want right now may not be something that you want to pay the price for the rest of your life. Can I say this thirdly? Jacob's feelings led him to lie to the one he sought the blessing from. Look, if you would, at verse 19. Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, thy firstborn." Verse 20. "Hey, son, how'd you get that venison so quickly?" "Oh, the Lord brought it to me." I'm going to tell you, where the analogy breaks down is that God is not old and deaf and blind. God is the Ancient of Days. He doesn't age with time, and he's not senile, and he's not, you're not going to hoodwink God like Jacob did his dad. Jacob lied to the person that he said, I was going over here, and I'm like, that's a clown. That's not the person I want to point at right now. Point this way, all right. Jacob, oh, trapeze artist. All right, someone, imagine with me God somewhere in here, okay? Jacob lied to his father to get something out of his dad rather than being honest with his father about who he was. You know what he did? He lied to the person he sought the blessing from. You say, "I want God to bless my life." Then quit lying to yourself and lying to him. Yeah, but I really want this, and I think I could be better at it than my brother. And have you ever watched him with money anyways? He doesn't handle it well. And God, you know, I could do better with it. Yeah, listen, it doesn't even mean that God would not have given you this blessing, but the way you went about it. Is there anyone in this room that can attest to the fact that sometimes God has wanted to give you things and you see it in retrospect, but you got ahead of God and you did it your own way and you paid for it? You know why? Because all Jacob could think about was what Jacob wanted, and his feelings led him to do something. Listen, do you know what happens when God shows up in the Garden of Eden? When God shows up in the Garden of Eden, after man has sinned, what does Adam and his wife do? They run from God. And what do they say when God shows up? "Adam, Adam, Adam, Adam." And listen, God wasn't senile then either. He knew exactly where Adam was, down to the inch. He knew exactly where he was. You know what he's doing that for? To show Adam he was looking for him. And he says, Lord, we were afraid. Well, you've never been afraid before. Where'd this emotion come from? Where'd this feeling of fear come from? Well, truth is, I did something I wasn't supposed to do. I wanted something so badly in the moment, and now I'm feeling like it probably wasn't the best idea. You know what they ended up doing? They had sewed fig leaves together as a little apron, try to cover themselves up. And the Lord looks at that and he goes, "Well, that's cute. Do you think you're covering something there? You know, I see everything, right? By the way, who told you were naked?" Well, that's interesting. I never noticed it before." "Yeah, it's because you had never sinned before." You see, that's the root. That's the problem. We're getting somewhere. The whole time, Jacob covers up and Adam covers up and Saul disguises himself and Rebecca's got her thing that she's got going on. And what ends up happening is because of all the confusion, the covering up and the disguising, rather than coming to God and saying, for example, "Lord, I'm lost. Yeah, I'm a good guy as far as other people are concerned. I might be better than half the people in this room, but I'm not sinless. I'm not perfect, and I'm not going to cover up my sin anymore. I know I need to accept you as my Savior." That's a great idea, by the way. Or coming to God and saying, "Lord, I've got this in my life, I've got this in my life, I got this in my life. I've tried to cover it up. You know, when people come around, I put on the perfume, I try to put on the pretty face, I try to act like nothing's wrong, when deep down inside there's these issues there. There's this lust that I keep giving into. And God, instead of covering up, I'm going to deal with it once and for all. I'm tired of sewing fig leaves on." Isaac's feelings led to his losing his discernment. Look, if you would, at verse 23. Look what the Bible says. "He discerned him not." He discerned him not. Let me just say this. When you get saved, the Lord does something. He puts the Spirit of God inside of you. And you know what the Spirit of God is there to help you do? To discern things. And the Bible says, if you're lost, the Bible says the reason you can't understand the Bible is because the Bible is a spiritually discerned book. It is a supernatural spiritual book with a supernatural spiritual author. Therefore, if you don't have him inside of you, it's not going to make sense. But when you get saved, God puts the Spirit of God inside you so that you can go through life and you can sense whether it's right, whether it's wrong. You can sense, is there danger in this? Should I go in that direction? And I'll tell you right now, you know what will muddy up the waters? You know what will get static on the line every single time? What Isaac did. Listen, Isaac goes, well, that's the voice of Jacob. But, I don't know. I guess it's good enough. That red flag that was going off in his mind going, I should abort mission. I should back out of this. Beep, beep. I should find a way. This isn't right. Something's telling me that where I'm at right now is not right, and I should get out of it. Instead of going in that direction, he does. Yeah, but it feels right. Look at verse number 21. Isaac said to Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee. Two of Isaac's senses are used here, his sense of hearing and his sense of feeling, because his sense of eyesight, if we're being honest, are about gone. But you know what you learn from this? When you go by your feelings, you lose the discernment that God has put in every single one of you. Number one, with your conscience. And number two, with the Spirit of God. And number three, with the Scriptures from the Word of God. You know what the Bible says about itself? The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Do you know why it is at times that you don't pick this up? Because you don't want it looking at you, telling you what's really going on with you. And I'm telling you right now, the reason that Isaac got duped was because Isaac said, you know what? I know this probably may not be the right thing, but man, that venison smells good. I can still smell. He obviously didn't have COVID. I can smell. I can't wait to, his mouth has got saliva in it. When I say barbecue and I say hot dog and bratwurst and hamburger, some of you are like, preacher, stop it. That's where Isaac was at. He's like, man, I can't wait to taste that. I can smell it. And you know what? The smell is there, and the feeling's there. Yeah, the sound is a little bit off, but let me just say, I just want that stew right now. It doesn't matter. Everything else that God is trying to show me, I'll just go with my senses over here. He lost his discernment. You know what Jesus said? He said, you can look up at the sky, and you can tell, man, it's going to be bad weather today, because you can see that, right? But you can't discern the signs of the times. You know what he told him? You know what the problem was? It wasn't an intellectual issue. It was a heart issue. Because that's the center of your feelings. The Bible says, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. Discerning of things is a spiritual gift, you understand? It takes me back to Ahab and Jehoshaphat one more time. They're sitting down before they go to battle. Before Ahab goes, hey, bro, can you put on my outfit? You know, before that ever happens, they're sitting side by side, and they have the preachers come out. And they got a, you know, Promise Keepers Convention or wherever. All the preachers come out, and you know, they're holding hands, and they're like, yeah, we love you, King. You're the best. God is with you. You know, and they're going back and forth. They're like, you're the best. You're going to beat the other armies. And they're like, now listen, I don't know about you, I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but I kind of think it's weird when someone preaches that you clap, because honestly, they're not there to entertain you, they're there to preach and minister to you. Then Ahab and Jehoshaphat have these preachers in front of them, and Ahab's like, hey, did you hear that? Did you hear that message? 4-point outline, Ahab's good, Ahab's great, Ahab's wonderful, Ahab, you're going to do this the right way. You know, I mean, it's a great outline, I like that outline, let's do that one again. And Jehoshaphat goes, you know what, something is just off. I don't know what it is, but all these guys sound the same. They sound, I don't know, like they lack biblical authority. They sound kind of like they're all just parrots mimicking each other, saying what the other one thinks the other one wants to hear so that they can keep their jobs and the money keeps coming in and we can build a bigger building. Sound familiar? It's called the modern day Christian movement. I'm not saying that I'm a modern Christian. I'm with you, but I don't want to go down that road. I'm just telling you guys, the reality is this. Jehoshaphat was the only one in that room with hundreds of people that said, something's off. He says, let's get another preacher. So they get the other preacher. So who is it? Some guy named Micaiah. You may not know him. He said, where did they find the preacher? In jail. Why? Ahab didn't like him. So I guess when you don't like the preacher, you put him in jail, right? So what happens is they get this guy out of jail, and he comes, and Ahab goes, go ahead, do your thing. And Micaiah goes, you're great, you're wonderful, and God is with you. And he goes, well, okay. So just so you know, I didn't put him in the jail for that. That's not how he normally preaches. And he goes, hey, Micaiah, come on, man, don't do that. Be real with me, okay? You're going to lose, you're going to die. See, I told you. That's why I put this guy in prison. He's always talking negative. He's never making me feel good about me. Can I say you can't live the right kind of Christian life without the Word of God, because it is what helps you discern your way through life. You know what Bible preaching is supposed to do? It's supposed to awaken the discernment inside of you and cause you to look at the things in your life and the direction of your life in which you're going, go, okay, Lord, is this right? Lord, this doesn't match what the book says. So if I'm going in this direction, but the Bible says I should be over here, then Lord, I know you're not wrong. I guess I need to change. Did you notice that nobody in Genesis 27 wants to stop what they're doing and ask for God's direction? And nobody in Genesis 27 admits they might be wrong about the approach that they had to the whole thing? None of them. Because I feel this way, therefore it must be. Let me close with this thought. The whole family, number five, the whole family, led by their feelings, led to wasted years. You know what ends up happening? Look at verse 30. As soon as Isaac blesses Jacob, the wrong son, Jacob is walking out of the tent, Esau's walking in. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Jacob's walking out, he's like, hey, bro. Esau's like, what are you doing with my clothes on? I mean, do you ever think through these things in the Bible? Like, that was weird, but whatever. Okay, I'm here to give dad his food. So, and as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, let me just say this, time reveals things. Time catches up to us when we try to cover things up. In verse number 31 and 32 and 33, Esau comes in and he realizes his dad has already given the blessing to Jacob. And you know what happens in verse 34? He cries bitter tears. In verse 35, Isaac, the father, has regret. In verse 36, Esau becomes bitter. In verse 38, there's a bitter cry and there's weeping. In verse 41, there is a plan unfolding for murder because of hatred. And all I can say is it all goes by feeling. Few days, look at verse 44. A few days, mama's instructions, go tarry with my brother for a few days, turns into many years, and she never sees her son again. Look at verse 46. You know what Rebekah says to Isaac after Jacob's gone and Esau starts marrying the wrong kind of ladies, wrong kind of women? Rebekah says to Isaac, I am weary. You know what that is? That's an emotion. That's a feeling. She's wore out. She's tired. Do you know how she got there? By this entire cover-up. By going by feelings the whole time. You know what you need to learn to do? Hate to use this illustration. Is it okay? I hope it's okay. She's like, whatever it is, it's too late now. You need to let the Lord look under the hood. See what's really there. But a car wasn't a great car. That's the story. Let the Lord look under the hood. You understand, when you go by your feelings through life, you waste time wherein God wanted to unfold beautiful and wonderful things. There's a plan God has for every single person in this room. And when you go by your feelings, you know what ends up happening? You waste the time and the years God had for you. Believers, maybe this is you. I know I should quit pursuing this, but if I quit pursuing this, then I'll miss out. There's that FOMO, I guess they call it, fear of missing out. I might miss out on something, you know. You say, what is it the result of? Well, I scrolled and I saw she had this party and I saw he had this and I saw that. And I got to be there and I want to be there. And I'm going to miss out. I don't want to miss out. And God goes, hey, just stop. The way you're feeling right now is not how you're going to feel about this in 20 years. Maybe as a believer, you just can't let go what God is telling you to let go of because your feelings are all invested into it. But the question is truth invested into it? I know I can change them. Oh, that's a last word and testament of many people. I just want this so bad. Hey, can I say this, believer? Here's what I've learned as a Christian. Oh, I've learned this sincerely, the hard way. There are times where God has asked me to do the hard thing. Let me just say this. Preachers don't always want to do the right thing. We're human like everybody else. And there are moments where it literally hurts to do the right thing. But I can tell you right now, once I'm through that situation, I'm on the other side of it, I am so glad when I do the right thing. And I can tell you that my feelings in the moment were not the right ones. My feelings would have led me to quit. They would have led me to lash out. They would have led me to have an outburst. Those feelings were not the right ones. So I had to put that into check and go, God, help me get through this. And when I got on the other side, say, God, thank you for not letting me make a mess of things. God, thank you that my feelings, while they change all the time, this book doesn't change. And your truth doesn't change. Thank God his love for us doesn't change. I'm so glad God is nothing like us. I mean, just wake up in the morning and go, yeah, let's just let them all go to hell. I don't like any of them. Let me just say this. If you're not saved today, maybe you don't feel like getting saved, but it's still the right thing. Maybe you don't feel like trusting Jesus right now. Maybe you think or feel, yeah, it's not a bad thing, but I can do that later. I mean, I've been religious, and I've been going to church, and I had church this morning, so cut me some slack. And understand this much, if the Holy Spirit of God is working in you right now, and you don't know Christ as your Savior, understand, it's him speaking to you, and it's not me. But if his finger is put right there on your chest, and he goes, hey, what about me, bud? What are you going to do? Perfect timing for that. You know who the best fireman ever was? His name is Jesus Christ. And he jumped in that fire truck and he went down to the depths of hell to save your soul and to save mine. And all you have to do to be saved is to trust him as your Savior, to place your faith not in your own self and not in your own righteousness, but in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, in the blood that he shed to pay for your sins. You may not feel, let me just say this, I told Sonny this yesterday. I said, Sonny, was there like a chorus of angels that sang in your ear after you got saved? He's like, no. And he looked at me kind of like, was there supposed to be? And I said, no, that's not how it works. You may not have felt anything in that moment, but I'll tell you this, for the rest of your life, when you have doubts about the direction of your life and you know that God is your Father and heaven is your home and nothing can separate you from the love of God, you will have the right feelings then. Amen. You say, why? Because it's not based on just an emotion. It's based on truth from God's word. Let's all stand, every head bowed and every eye closed. As the piano player comes this week, let me just say this, as she plays the piano, you are welcome to take advantage of this time. It's an invitation. You are being invited to do business with God. If you're a believer and you'd like to say, God, I don't want to cover some stuff anyway. I just want to deal with you openly and honestly. And God, I want to get things out in the open with you. I want to have fellowship with you like I should. Do that now, believer. I encourage you to do that. Take advantage of it. There's no point in playing games with God. God sees it all anyway. So just get it out in the open with him. It is exhausting and tiring to try to manipulate everyone around you to think you're something that you're not, or to cover something up before the Lord. It doesn't work. Let me just say this. There is a pull and an attraction from the world and our young people. Young people, some of you, I love you, but you're playing with fire and you're messing with stuff that's going to mess you up for the rest of your life. You better quit covering it up and deal with God. Believers, this would be the time to talk with your Heavenly Father. Let me just say this, if you're lost and you've never been born again, can I invite you today to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? There will always be other people, there will always be hypocrites, there will always be other issues, but I'll tell you, the main issue is an issue of sin. It's an issue of, man, there's something inside of me that isn't right. And I'll tell you, you can't solve that with religion. You can't solve that simply by going to church. The only way to get those sins washed away and to start anew is by asking Jesus to be your Savior. He loved you enough to die for you. You can accept His gift of eternal life, or you can reject it. That is your choice. We don't believe in a God that forces people to do something. It's free will. Your choice. But I'll say this, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, I'll ask it this way. If you're saved and you know you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, with every head bowed and every eye closed, would you be glad and honest enough to raise your hand and say, yep, I'm a born-again child of God. That's me. That's me. I'm saved. Amen. Hands everywhere. That's good. It's awesome. Look, I'm not going to point you out or drag you down here or anything like that, but if you could not raise your hand in confidence, knowing that you're saved, could I encourage you to seek me out? Find someone that can open up a Bible and tell you how to be saved. Greatest question in all of life is, where will you spend eternity? You say, well, that's all in eternity. I want to know about the here and the now. You can't fix that if you can't fix the eternal thing first, right? I can just say this. I've known many people, due to their fear of what others thought. And you know what that is really? It's pride is all it is. It's Jacob. It's self-centeredness. What will they think of me? I've known people that knew they needed to be saved, never took the step because they're worried about others think. Can I just tell you this? You know what everyone that knows what the Bible says already believes about every person in this room, self-included? We're all sinners. There will be no shock to the system when someone says, I'm a sinner, I need to get saved. We will rejoice with you. Believers, I'll just say it like this. We didn't get to the part of the story, that's later, but Jacob finally gets to a place where he can't cover things up anymore. You say, what does he do? He starts running. He runs. Eventually his brother catches up to him and he thinks he's going to die, and he runs and he splits up his family. He thinks, okay, I put him, part of the family goes that way, part of the family goes that way, and hopefully I don't lose everybody, you know, that kind of thing. Finally gets to a place where he can't run anymore. It's just him and God. Can I say this? Jacob could have gotten to that place a lot easier than how he did. He made it hard for himself rather than just saying, God, here it is. This is who I am. Lord, fix me. Help me. There are times when the little ones in our house can't do something or they don't want to do it, and like, I can't do this, can you do it? I'm like, no, you can do that. And there are times where they legitimately cannot do it, and they bring me something, they go, Dad, can you fix this? There's nothing that feels better as a dad than to fix it, and they go, thanks, Dad. So your Heavenly Father wants to do for you, but you can't get there by covering things up. I think by now, the only cover-up some of you are thinking about is ketchup or mustard. So I can tell we're hungry. It's time to go. I am serious about this, though. If there's anyone here that has questions about salvation, please don't leave without talking to me. Or talk to me at the barbecue. Let's talk, though, because that's the most important thing in your life. And second to that is your fellowship with Jesus Christ once you're saved. So I encourage you to, this week, as you go into the week, don't cover things up. Just deal with God openly where you're at. Amen. It works so much better, and it feels so much better as well. We'll be dismissing a word of prayer, and we invite everybody to come out with us to the Mission Viejo Park. We have a number of people that have been out there for hours cooking the three major food groups, hot dogs, brats, and burgers, right? And we're excited to go out there and have a good time with the kids as well. So everyone's invited. We hope to see you there. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. And don't forget, Wednesday night we'll be back here, 7 o'clock, a study on the family, still talking about marriage. So look forward to that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Sean Bowie, if you would dismiss us in a word of prayer, sir.
Lord, thank you for Sunday getting saved. Welcome to the family. Lord, I just